You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thanks for being here today as we are getting ready for the Orange and White game coming up this weekend. Today's show will help preview what to look for this weekend as you and I are going to be seeing 11-on-11 football from the 2019 Tennessee Vols for the first time. Coming up on today's show in the first segment, three offensive players to watch this weekend. In the second segment, three defensive players. The truth is, I could go through the entire roster and find something interesting to talk about with every single player because, you know, there's a lot of unknown. This is now year two with Jeremy Pruitt as the head coach. There is more depth, which means more competition on the practice field. And for the first time, we'll see the 2019 version of the Vols, and they still have a long way to go. They still have players to arrive this summer. But I'll try to go over a few of the players that I think will be worth watching this weekend in the first two segments. In the third segment, there is news on Darren Kirkland Jr. and his status. Will he play again for Tennessee? That is a question right now. I'll get to that coming up in the final segment of the show. A note on Juwan Jennings and a few other things to pay attention to here in the Orange and White game, which will kick off at 6 o'clock p.m., that's Eastern time, of course, at Neyland Stadium on Saturday. The game will be on the SEC Network. It's all right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day, available every day on the Himalaya app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the third-party apps, your smart speaker, anywhere you get your podcast, you can find Locked On Vols. So in the first segment here, I want to go over three offensive players to pay attention to on Saturday in the Orange and White game, and each guy will be from a different position. And I want to start with Josh Palmer. He is a third-year wide receiver at Tennessee, and Palmer is a guy that I think has clearly developed each season. He's gone from a guy that showed up physically looking like he belonged in the SEC, but it was difficult to tell if he could be a playmaker in the SEC. He could get open down the field. Could he go get the football? And then last year, I thought Palmer was clearly better than he was his freshman season. Still not a great receiver in the SEC, but a guy that could go make plays for Tennessee. And this spring, we've continued to hear Palmer's name when we've come out of the weekend and heard about what Tennessee had done in the past two scrimmages. Josh Palmer was making plays. In Tennessee's highlight video that it put out on Saturday or Sunday, sometime over the weekend on Twitter, it showed Palmer's touchdown catch going up against Alante Taylor and winning that battle. And T. Martin talked about Josh Palmer and said something very interesting about him when meeting with the media. This was T. Martin, Tennessee's wide receivers coach, talking about rising junior wide receiver Josh Palmer. And T. Martin talked about his familiarity with Josh Palmer. Listen to what T. Martin had to say.
Yeah, Josh was the only one who I recruited at my last stop. I was down in Miami recruiting, and I had a buddy that was the receiver coach at St. Thomas, and he said, "This, I don't know what this kid can do. He's from Canada," so on and so forth. And I watched him run and offered him a scholarship at USC. And I think at the time he was going to Syracuse, and, you know, it was closer to where he had come from, so I left him alone a little bit and then looked up, and he signed with Tennessee. So I was actually happy that he signed with Tennessee, even though I was somewhere else, because I thought he was a talent. But the only concern was, at that time, was how much football he played. And so, you know, he reminds me of Nelson Aguilar, who, although Nelson had played a lot of football coming into college from high school, he had played running back and not a lot of wide receiver. So when Nelson moved to wide receiver, he hung on every detail that, you know, I coached on. And whether it was depths, whether it was releases, the way to catch the ball, reading conversions and coverage, Nelson kind of hung on every word that I said, and I can see Josh in the meetings mentally processing that and as I'm talking. It really reminds me of Nelson, and he has really improved this spring. I'm really impressed with where we started 13 practices ago and then where we are right now. Really excited about a summer with him, knowing what the capabilities are and what the potential can be for a young man like him. He has the size, the speed, the hands, the route running, the releases. He has the ability to be a big-time player in the future.
T. Martin talking about junior wide receiver Josh Palmer, that has to make you believe that he really can become a high-level player. To be compared to Nelson Aguilar, who was a guy that showed up at USC probably with higher expectations than Palmer had at Tennessee, but also T. Martin recruiting at USC thought Palmer was worthy of going out there and playing for the Trojans. Aguilar plays for the Philadelphia Eagles now. He's a good NFL wide receiver. That's, I think, a really strong comparison for Josh Palmer. So pay attention to number five and see if he makes a play or two this weekend, because if he can become kind of a go-to weapon to go along with the other players, Marquez Callaway and Juwan Jennings starting out there at wide receiver, I think you feel a lot better about what Tennessee's passing game can be. So Josh Palmer would be one player. Another player to pay attention to, why don't we stick with the passing game and go to the tight end position, and that's Dominique Wood Anderson. He came to Tennessee last year as a junior college transfer and helped Tennessee last year, but I think he probably had higher expectations for himself when he made a big play over the middle of the field in the one open practice that Tennessee did back in August. I thought, okay, this guy can play in the SEC, and that was proven correct. He could play in the SEC. Now I think Dominique Wood Anderson would like to play at an even higher level to show that he can play in the NFL. That has to be a goal of Dominique's. And then when you consider Jim Chaney is now the offensive coordinator, look at his history. Look at his recent history. At Tennessee, he coached Michael Rivera. Michael turned that into an NFL career. Then Jim Chaney coaching at Arkansas. He coached Hunter Henry. He's one of the most talented tight ends in the NFL. He was out most of this past season, and that was a loss for the Chargers. Hunter Henry at Arkansas was a really good player and is a quality tight end in the NFL. And then most recently, Jim Chaney coaching at Georgia coached Isaac Nada the last three seasons. He declared early for the NFL draft. Jim Chaney has had a lot of success coaching tight ends. Why shouldn't Dominique Wood Anderson be the latest? They've worked a lot with him on his blocking, but no doubt in the passing game, Wood Anderson is somebody that can help Tennessee. Now, I don't know that he's going to put up monster numbers because of the number of options Garantano is going to have in the passing game this season, but we saw in the opener, Wood Anderson caught that touchdown against West Virginia. He's a guy that can be used around the goal line. I think he can make more plays in the middle of the field. So watch Dominique Wood Anderson and see if he makes some plays this weekend. And the third offensive player I'll point to here in this segment is one of the newcomers. That's Wanya Morris. You've heard about him a lot. One reason I would say watch Wanya Morris is it'll give us at least a better idea of where the pecking order is with the offensive line and what the entire unit might look like. If Wanya is the first team left tackle, that probably means Jameer Johnson's playing somewhere else on the line. I don't think Jameer's going to be a second team guy. So is he at guard? Could he go over and play right tackle? So where Wanya is playing is noteworthy before you even get to his performance. Now, this is going to be his first orange and white game. He has just wrapped up spring practice as an early enrollee, but expectations are high for Morris. So let's see how he does against SEC defensive linemen, how he performs, how he does in pass protection, because that was a concern a couple of weeks ago coming out of a scrimmage, that pass protection for Jarrett Garantano still needs to be better. And if Wanya Morris is going to be playing left tackle, well, he needs to be really good at pass protection and protecting Jarrett Garantano. So pay attention to Wanya Morris. He'll be wearing number 64. He's a true freshman offensive lineman and a guy that has a really good chance to start for Tennessee this fall. Let's see if he's Tennessee's first team left tackle or where he fits in this upcoming weekend. Again, I could go through every player on the offensive side probably and find something interesting about them, but my three guys, wide receiver Josh Palmer, tight end Dominique Wood Anderson, and offensive lineman Wanya Morris. I could mention Jarrett Garantano. I probably don't need to tell you to watch number two, the quarterback. The other guys actually are probably just as interesting to watch. Number 12, JT Shrout, he's the number two quarterback. And then true freshman Brian Maurer, he'll be wearing number 18. He's currently the third team quarterback. Coming up next here on Locked On Vols, I'll switch to the defensive side. Three defensive players that will be worth watching this weekend as Locked On Vols continues. And you can get Locked On Vols, you can subscribe to it on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. You can download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Vols. Let's move over to the defensive side now with three players to watch on that side of the football. I'll start on the back end with this conversation and move forward. So the first player I'll mention here is senior safety Nigel Warrior. Nigel has played a good amount of football for Tennessee over the last few years. He arrived as a very highly touted player, looked the part almost from day one as an athlete, a guy that could play in the SEC. And with Nigel, I think there's been, you know, a learning process for him to go through on playing in coverage. He's a guy that's not afraid to hit, but there have been some times where he's made some mistakes that sometimes cost Tennessee, sometimes didn't. And that's what Tennessee has worked on with him. But he's the veteran of the group. Mike Abernathy is gone now. Guys that he has played with coming up have now moved on. And you look in that defensive backfield, you have Baylen Buchanan, who is a veteran, but I'd say Nigel has played more. And you have a bunch of young players, especially at safety. At safety, you're looking at young players like Theo Jackson, who's a junior now, but I'd say less experienced in Theo's case. Trayvon Flowers, second-year player. Jalen McCullough, he's a newcomer. Tyus Fields, he's a newcomer at safety as well. They don't have a ton of experience at that position group. Nigel is the most experienced player. He's a guy that needs to step up. When we talk about playmakers, well, Tennessee's going to look for guys who can make plays. D'Angelo Gibbs is a part of this conversation as well. He is an unknown in terms of his status to play right away this year. If D'Angelo's available, that makes Tennessee deeper, more athletic, and just gives another option to Jeremy Pruitt and the defensive coaching staff there. But it starts with Nigel Warrior. So let's see how number 18 plays. Can he go make a play for Tennessee in this spring game this weekend? Moving up a level, how about Quavaris Crouch? There are a number of players I can mention at linebacker, and Crouch is a guy that still has a lot to learn. Again, that applies here in this position, but he is a guy that when he walked on campus, he looked like he belonged in the SEC, and I don't think there's anybody disputes that. Crouch is a guy that Tennessee's coaches have put in a position to see if he can be effective rushing after the quarterback, and he's been an inside linebacker for most of spring, but they've worked with him on the outside. He's a big guy. He's a guy that he could have come to Tennessee to play running back, and that would have solved Tennessee's question that it's asked about, what do we do for a bigger back? Crouch has size. So let's see what he can do in the spring game. He's not a starter right now at linebacker, and I don't know if he'll be at the start of the season, but he will compete for playing time, no doubt about it. So watch number 27, newcomer Quavaris Crouch. He was a highly touted linebacker that Tennessee beat out Clemson and Michigan for in the early signing period. He signed that Friday night, the end of the early signing period, and Crouch was a big get for Tennessee. They're going to give him a chance to help Tennessee right away. And then the third and final defensive player I'll mention here this segment to watch is a guy that Tennessee's coaches have been watching and appear to be impressed by. That's Matthew Butler, number 94, a third-year defensive lineman. So in this position group, while Butler is still quite inexperienced, he's also one of the veterans of the group. And I think that Tracy Rocker, the defensive line coach, is going to count on Butler helping this unit in a big way. Listen to what Tracy Rocker said earlier this week, meeting with the media and talking about the defensive linemen. The question was, who has stood out to Tracy Rocker this spring? Here's his answer.
The guy that stood out most to me in my group that I felt like was got better, to me was probably Matt Butler. Just, you know, he's older, he's been here, and I just think he's done some things that have surprisingly every day have tried to do it consistently. I just think, you know, he's trying to play within the structure of the defense. He's improved his and what we call flexion. He's improved a lot in the weight room with fits, with his stretching, flexibility in his hips and ankles, and it's still more work to come, but he's been the one that's probably excited me the most.
Tracy Rocker talking about Matthew Butler, that's a really good thing for Tennessee's football team. He's a guy that was well thought of when he arrived. There's some players that still have, I think, a good amount of potential to tap into. Butler is absolutely on that list. And at the beginning of the podcast, when I talked about, you know, I could go through the entire roster and find something that's interesting or worth noting to watch with these guys this weekend, the defensive line group absolutely is a part of that conversation. It's not just Butler to watch this weekend. Let's see what guys like Emmett Gooden can do, and John Mincy, and Kingston Harris. Aubrey Solomon is another transfer who is waiting on NCAA clearance. We don't know right now if he'll be able to play this year. Tennessee's defensive line will be better if he can. He's number 98. But watch Matthew Butler, number 94, and see how he plays. And that'll be one of the talking points, I'd say, coming out of the weekend. How did Tennessee do up front? Because I think that's been the biggest concern for the defense, where Tennessee is. And it's front seven, but start the conversation with the defensive line. And I think going into August, that will be maybe the number one question about Jeremy Pruitt's defense. What are they going to have along the line of scrimmage as the three starters and I would say top four players from the defensive line last year are all gone. Shy Tuttle, Alexis Johnson, and Kyle Phillips, and then Paul Bain. They've all departed, leaving a massive hole up front. Can Matthew Butler help fill it? I think maybe he's an answer, at least, when we ask, okay, which guys will absolutely be a part of the rotation? Because there are a few guys that I could see playing a lot or playing a little. And Jeremy Pruitt, meeting with the media last week, said that, remember, we have some guys who are either not here or not participating right now, like junior college signee Savion Williams. Karat Garland has not been practicing this spring. He's been working on conditioning, coming back from an injury, and should be back to full speed here in the next several weeks, but has not gone through spring practice. He'll have a chance to compete for playing time on the defensive line this fall. So it's subject to change, but Matthew Butler is the guy I'll use right here to say, watch this player, watch that unit. How does the defensive line play? And of course, how it performs will affect what we say about Tennessee's offensive line. You get that with spring games. You get that when you're talking about a scrimmage between a team. It's a team going against itself. But still, Tennessee's defensive coaches are going to challenge its players to fit in with what they're asking them to do, and on occasion make some plays against Tennessee's offense. That will be the case this weekend as well. Coming up here on Locked On Vols, the final segment of today's show, Jeremy Pruitt with an update on linebacker Darren Kirkland Jr. Will he play again for Tennessee? Listen to what Tennessee's head coach had to say updating linebacker Darren Kirkland Jr. status, and a few other notes to pay attention to heading into the spring game this weekend. That's right here on Locked On Vols. And heading into the weekend, if you do have time to rate and review the show, please do so. Thanks to everybody who has. Rating and reviewing on iTunes is a big help, and any of the other platforms if they offer that kind of thing. Thanks to everybody who has. I appreciate it. Keep spreading the word. Tell anybody, Tennessee fans, you know, that might want to check out a podcast if you're heading to the Orange and White game on Saturday. I think the last few days could be helpful in getting to know a little bit more about the Tennessee football team. So thanks again for all the support, rating, and reviewing, and spreading the word about the daily Tennessee podcast, Locked On Vols. Linebacker Darren Kirkland Jr. has not been able to go through spring practice, and his status has been kind of up in the air. There's not really been much said about Darren other than he's not here. We knew that from day one in the spring. But on Wednesday, Jeremy Pruitt was a guest on Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on WNML in Knoxville, and Jimmy asked Jeremy Pruitt about Darren Kirkland Jr.'s status and what his future is, and it's very much up in the air. Listen to what Jeremy Pruitt said talking about Darren Kirkland Jr.
You know, Darren has he had a little bit of a chronic knee. He's had a couple of surgeries on his knee, and he is undergoing some treatment in Pensacola with James Andrews. It's something that's been done on several guys that play in the NFL that's really extended their careers. And right now, he's doing that. We've talked about the rehab part of it this summer, and even the possibility of him not playing next fall and just getting ready for the draft in January. You know, he's a guy that has finished his degree here, done an excellent job, been a great ambassador to us. He's working on his rehab right now, and he's going to continue to do that. You know, it's one of these things that once you've had multiple knee surgeries, when you start talking about quad strength and hamstring strength, you know, if it's not the same as it is on the other leg, you tend to have nagging injuries, and that's something that happened to him this past year. I think Darren is a really, really good football player, has a bright future, but he does have to get his leg well, and I'm not so sure that 7 or 8 months of rehab would not do him best.
That's Jeremy Pruitt on Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. Right now, I think Tennessee has to plan to not have Darren Kirkland Jr. at linebacker, and even if he were to try to come back and play, they would still be managing him, and there would be times where they don't know if he's going to be able to go. So for Darren, it might be in his best interest to not play football this fall and go ahead and prepare for the draft next spring. I like Darren. I hate that he's dealt with the injuries that he has. He, at the beginning of his college career, looked like a guy that had such a promising future as a college and NFL player, and I hope for him that he still maybe can have a shot at the NFL. It's going to be difficult, and teams are of course, going to be very concerned about his medical history. So spending time to get as healthy as possible for the draft process could make some sense. So for Tennessee, again, I think the Vols have to prepare to not have Kirkland this fall. And they know that Daniel Betuli is going to play a big role. I think he's a starter for sure. Will Ignat is probably the next guy to step up. That's one reason I mentioned Kovaris Crouch last segment, because all of those guys have been pushed and will continue to be pushed to be ready to go. I think Tennessee's coaches, Kevin Scherer coaches the inside linebackers. I think they're trying to figure out how deep they can be at both inside and outside linebacker. That's all a part of the equation, and guys can move around a little bit. J.J. Peterson is probably not going to go this weekend. I wouldn't expect him to, considering he's missed a good amount of time, didn't see him on Thursday on the practice field. So Peterson will at some point factor in there. Is that this fall? I don't know. He's in better shape than when he arrived, and he's not been at 100% this spring, so we still have not seen a 100% healthy, in-shape J.J. Peterson at Tennessee. And he's still just wrapping up his first year on campus at Tennessee. J.J. will be a redshirt freshman this fall, but he's also a guy that arrived with big-time expectations. So I don't think that he's going to go this weekend. At least I would not expect that. But J.J. is one of only a few guys that have dealt with injuries this spring. Overall, Tennessee's been healthy, and I think Jeremy Pruitt will take that. And you'll probably say knock on wood because there's one more scrimmage to go, that being the orange and white game. But overall, Tennessee, I think, feels pretty good about where it is physically heading into this final day of work for spring practice. Something else to maybe watch this weekend will be Juwan Jennings. We've seen him on the practice field this week working with the quarterbacks and running backs. Could he be involved? Yeah, they may not want to show anything because this will be on the SEC Network, and so it pops up on film. But Juwan's a guy that he's healthier now than I think he's been in a little while, maybe the last couple of years. So Juwan's a guy that, with Jim Chaney as the offensive coordinator, we could see be moved around in a number of different positions, could play on the outside, can play at slot wide receiver, and can line up in the backfield, could take a direct snap and help Tennessee in that way in some kind of wildcat-type formation, something like that. So do we see anything like that on Saturday? Don't know, but that's something to pay attention to this fall, the use of Juwan Jennings in the offense, as well as all the skill position players. Ty Chandler getting more involved maybe in the passing game. I think that would help Tennessee's offense. If you've heard me talk about Ty Chandler, you've heard me talk about his receiving abilities and the ability to help Tennessee's offense overall. How do special teams perform? Let's see who's returning kicks and punts and who might look most effective there. Jeremy Pruitt has challenged the special teams guys, meaning returners and kickers and punters, to perform at a higher level at different times this spring. He's challenged every unit at some point this spring, but special teams doesn't get a lot of talk, but it should be worth mentioning and watching this weekend in the orange and white game. And there is the question of who breaks out. On Sports 180 this week, Will West and I were talking about that, and Josh Palmer was my pick. He's a guy I talked about in the first segment. You heard T. Martin talking about him, but it could be anybody. So who's the breakout player? Is there a player or two after the spring game that we're talking about saying, hey, watch this guy this fall? And of course, there can be someone that we overreact to based on his performance in one spring game. There's always that coming out of it as well. So should be fun. 6 o'clock at Neyland Stadium, whether you're there, watching on TV, catching up after the fact. I'll be back on Monday talking about the orange and white game. You'll hear Jeremy Pruitt talk about it. You'll hear from Tennessee players on Monday's show as well. There will be a lot to react to next week, all week long, from Tennessee spring right here on the Locked On Vols podcast. So hope to talk to you on Monday about everything that will have happened over the weekend. And if any other news breaks, I'll, of course, cover it right here as well. Locked On Vols, available on the new Himalaya podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the third-party apps, your smart speaker, smartphone, anywhere you want to listen to the podcast. It's Locked On Vols. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you here on Monday.